Ever seen a shrimp with three eyes? It's called a triops. We learned about it thanks to author and explorer Susan Scott. Her Ocean Watch column ended its long run in the Honolulu Star Advertiser this summer, but you can now find her online. Leave it to Scott to find this three-eyed creature in a mud puddle on the hike to Ka'ena Point. That's where we pick up the conversation.
It's just a little critter that someone told me about. We're in the puddles there. Actually, Bruce Carlson, the former director of the Waikiki Aquarium, emailed me and said, oh, you've got to go out to Ka'ena Point. There's triops. So the one of the great things is I have a lot of readers who clue me in. They email me and call me and say that they found something that's cool, or this is happening and that's happening. So I do get a lot of help. And after all these years, I have, you know, a lot of readers who follow, who remember that I wrote about something, and then they'll tell me a story. And it's really been a lot of fun. That's why I was so disappointed when the newspaper cut the column. And then I thought, well, I'll just keep going. I can keep doing this. So it's been really an interesting transition for me because I'm learning a lot of new computer skills. You know, I made a new website and did some things that were really helpful. So
change is good.
Yeah, change is good. People still write me almost every day saying, why aren't you writing anymore? So the nice thing is I get to tell them that, you know, I can subscribe them to the column, and I think it'll gradually build up.
But, so you're still discovering treasures. I mean, I saw one of your columns about a blue dragon, which was just a stunning visual. Oh
yeah, that was amazing. Wasn't that amazing? Yeah. I love those. And one of the North Shore artists said he was inspired to make a piece of art, which is beautiful. And so I drove up to the North Shore and saw it and bought it from him.
And then you just recently, I think, came across some Spanish dancers on the beach. I was so jealous.
Yeah, we found five different ones in several days. And so, yeah, it was an amazing thing because I'd never seen them snorkeling there. So the fifth day, I came home, got my snorkel gear. Usually we're out when we could still walk on the beaches, out about 7 in the morning, which isn't usually the time I'm snorkeling. I like to ride in the mornings. And so I got my mask and snorkel and went back, and I did not see any in the water. So I don't know what was going on, but I haven't seen them since either. And, of course, now we can't walk on the beach. So
right.
For a
but,
while.
I mean, I normally go looking in the water when I'm out swimming. I mean, I swim to look at these fabulous creatures in the ocean.
Yeah.
But I was just stunned that you find them on the shore.
Right, yeah. There's a lot of them on the shore. And that's not the first time. I've found a dozen probably at Lanikai Beach. Mm-hmm. And so I'm between the North Shore and the Windward side because my husband works sometimes on the North Shore. He's an emergency doctor. And so he's sometimes on the North Shore at Kahuku and Wahiwa and other times at Castle. And so we're back and forth between our two apartments. So I have a North Shore, a bunch of marine animals, and the Windward side. They're really different.
The neatest thing that I've ever seen was actually a seahorse in the water.
Oh.
And I remember telling a photographer friend of mine, because we would go out in teams, you know, when I was on TV. And he's a waterman, too. And I said, oh, I would just love to see a seahorse out, you know, in the wild.
Yeah.
And that was like 2 days before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a seahorse at Kaimana.
That's amazing.
For months, I would just go visit just say hi. And then they had one of those flotilla things, you know, with the college kids.
Yeah.
And I never saw it again in that spot. I don't know if it got trampled or if it got irritated and moved on.
Well, there was a bloom of seahorses around 2012, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long ago you saw yours, but I was getting notices from other people, and a couple of researchers wondered if someone had released some seahorses that were not native to Hawaii, and that's why we were seeing them all over the place. I saw them on the North Shore, and people on the Windward side were seeing them, but they did some DNA studies, and it looked like they were all native, and they were just having a big bloom 1 year. But I haven't seen them since.
I did learn from the aquarium director that they did release a number of them at one time, and so he was happy to hear that I saw this out thriving.
I know.
And then I do hear stories like they're in the Olivai. They're over by Flat Island, and so you just kind
right.
of, other swimmers in the water will just share their adventures.
Yeah. It's really exciting. I was looking for years, but the only ones I ever saw was that one season. But I saw dozens. I saw them mating. It was an amazing thing. I saw two of them, a male and female, and they hooked their tails together and did this little dance. And really, I was almost drowning. I was so excited because how often would you get to see such a thing? And I have started some fuzzy pictures of it because I was afraid to get too close. And then I saw a male, maybe that male, in the same area not too much later with his belly really full, like he looked like he was pregnant. So that was pretty cool.
Well, I know that there are people who say, oh, yes, we've seen them, but we don't want to tell people where they're at because they're afraid that the aquarium trade will come and snatch them up.
Yes.
But then there's also the fact that, hey, you know, they're out there and, you know, respect them and help nurture them.
Yeah. Well, that's one problem I have is I really want to share my experiences because it's so much fun to me and it's so exciting to see a new marine animal. But I never know if I should tell people where this thing is or, you know, if it's like that frogfish. I thought he's right out there, right out in the open off a little beach park on the North Shore. And I didn't know, I did not say where it was because I was kind of worried about him. But then on the other hand, I want people to know, so. Depends how I feel that day, I guess. I have had people write to me and say, stop writing about the seahorses or something else that they don't want people to abuse.
That was marine biologist and author Susan Scott. We will continue our talk with her after we take a pause for the monthly civil defense siren test. Stay with us. We will be right back in just a moment. We pick up our conversation with marine explorer Susan Scott, who has turned her attention from shrimp, sea slugs, and Spanish dancers to Hawaii seabirds. Take a listen. Those were the calls of the fairy tern or white tern and the golden plover, the kolea. Scott has written about both. She shares with us her latest endeavor, the kolea count.
Recently, I was invited to be a board member for the Hawaii Audubon Society, which I have never been a board member of anything before. And so I'm now working on a kolea count project that's sponsored by Hawaii Audubon. That I started, and I started it because people write to me so much about the kolea that I really felt that there was a need to find out more information about them, because every time I would try to find out how many we have or if they're increasing or decreasing or what's happening, there's not, that information is not available. So I started my own website through the Hawaii Audubon Society, and we're going to do a count this winter. And I wrote a book about them with the expert Wally Johnson, the world expert on these birds. So that's been really fun too, getting to know him and calling him a good friend is a privilege. So he's a great friend. He lives in Bozeman, Montana, though. He comes here to do his research, but he doesn't really have anybody here full time except me. I'm setting up a project. There's a website called koleacount.org that's sponsored by the Hawaii Audubon Society. And I'm working right now on a database that I'm going to send everybody who subscribes to me on my website and everyone who has written me about kolea, which is 500 or 600 people, of when we're going to start a count. And then people can sign up for certain areas like the golf course they golf on or a cemetery they visit often or a city or county park, and then report back the numbers and we'll see what happens. It's statewide, so it'll be fun. I'm going to pick up whatever anybody doesn't sign up for, I'm going to do myself. So that sounds like a fun project for the future if we can fly in our island again. And I wrote a book on white terns too, our city bird.
Yes, I actually picked that up the other day.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Monarchs who are just so fascinating because I just love that they just lay an egg here and a lay egg there without a nest.
And you want to say nesting because that's what birds do, but these birds do not have any kind of nest. So, yeah, I also am friends with Rich Downs, who's been monitoring the white terns. He's another Audubon board member. And so he and I have also become friends, but he's sort of stranded on the East Coast right now. So we're all doing the best we can with our bird projects. But I think counting Kalea and helping Rich with his citizen science project for the white terns is also a really good thing to do during these COVID stay-at-home times, because we can still get out and walk. And that's what you need to do to count birds. So.
Yes, and I was over by Black Point with a friend, and we were walking, and I was surprised to come across that little bird sanctuary.
Oh, yeah.
Bird sanctuary.
Yeah,
yes.
That's really amazing. It's not open to the public. So that's wedge-tailed shearwater, the seabirds.
I was really interested to learn that they do bring school group through there to help with that project.
Yes, there's a lot of really great Audubon volunteers that are monitoring and doing some research there, and other people bringing groups in. So if it's organized, you can go there. And I've actually done a lot of volunteer work there myself. So, yeah.
Well, it's funny because growing up in Guam, we hardly had any birds because they were decimated by brown tree snakes.
Right.
And
right.
So I had a friend who actually studied birds, and he'd say, yeah, I'd go out in the forest and you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
And so there are very few birds of that I grew up with.
Right.
But coming here and then seeing so many birds around. And
right. I was only in Guam once for a few days on another trip, stopped over for another trip, but it was really amazing to me to not hear bird song because I'm so used to it and kind of tuned into it.
I did come across a really neat article from the head of the zoo in St. Louis. And he wrote an article in the paper saying what I have at my zoo is more rare than a Stradivarius. He said it's a Micronesian kingfisher.
Oh.
And they were helping to breed it there at their facility. And they were successful.
Oh, cool.
And I just talked to someone with the Fish and Wildlife, and they said, yeah, that there's a project to reintroduce some of those back on some of the islands in the Marianas. It really is neat what can be done when the zoos get together and say, you know, we can do this. And
yeah,
we can save
exactly.
this
question. Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's great.
So this Kalea project that you've got, when did it start?
Well, it's sort of started already. What I did is I launched the website in March and April of this year. And, of course, March was the beginning of the pandemic. So I just thought, well, see what happens. It's sort of a pilot project for people to report the birds that they see. And I thought, I'll just see who's paying attention, who's really counting what's happening. And I had a tremendous response. It was really encouraging. So I just thought, well, that was only 2 months, and it was sort of an unusual times when people weren't really out and about. But it turned out that I think people are more aware of the birds in their little parks and their neighborhoods because we aren't doing as much as we used to activities. You know, we're not going out and doing other things. So this count is now sort of started. We are recording the first birds that came back was July 25th. And so I'm sort of looking at when they came back, how many are here in the winter, when they leave, and how many spend the summer. And those are the four questions that Wally, who's spent his life researching these Pacific golden plovers, wants to know, and said that no one has ever actually really monitored the birds to answer those questions. So I'm going to start the actual winter count. People have already written me a lot of emails about their bird is back. And so that's sort of, we're already now into when a lot of them are coming back. But the females come back first. They're probably exhausted. And then the males next. They sort of stay in Alaska with these chicks for their first few weeks of life and months of life. And then the males come back. And then the first-year birds have to find Hawaii on their own, which is amazing to me. And so they get here all the way up until November. They stay in Alaska as long as they can to fatten up, to get enough fat to fly to Hawaii. And then the ones that make it are pretty much going to be here and survive if they've made it into December. So we're going to start the winter count in December and go through the end of March. And I'm asking people to count their area like three different times if they can. If you can only do it once, that's fine. And if you can do two or three times, that's even better, to have a better accuracy rate that way. So, yeah, I'm collecting email addresses, and people can write me through the calaiscount.org column or through my website, and then I'm compiling all those emails, and I'll send them out as a notice that we're starting and that you can sign up and let me know which areas you'd like to count.
So you basically had a soft launch?
Yeah, it was a soft launch, and then it went well enough that now we're going to do it for real. We want to do it for over some years, and different people can count different areas, or a couple people can count the same place. Really going to see how it goes statewide this year, and then tweak it as we need to do it. But it's really fun. A lot of people are doing it anyway. I got an email from someone who said, I always notice all the birds at Hawaii Lower Ridge, so I'll just send you the numbers. And I thought, well, that's great. That's a nice big area. So I think that's happening anyway. So I'm trying to organize it. We'll see what happens.
We have been hearing from author and adventurer Susan Scott about her efforts to launch the Kulea Project. Scott, who has written extensively about her marine life expeditions across the Pacific, has turned our attention to the small and mighty golden plover as she transitions from a daily newspaper column to an online blog. Look for links on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.